part two of the last one, whatever it was, she titled it. But I was thinking today how the Bible says that He gives His angels charge over us. And I was thinking about how that we as a nation, a Christian nation, now I know it don't even look like it, but there's millions of believers on this planet that's believing God to prosper this United States of America. And not only believing, but lifting up and staying in the right spirit and all of that stuff, you know, and praying for both parties and all of that stuff, you know. The Bible says pray for those that are in authority. It don't say if you like them, agree, or whatever. Pray for those that are in authority. That's keeping us in a right spirit with God. And then we're lifting up our nation, believing that righteousness will rule and reign in our nation. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now, I've heard some, you know, and I'm not going to get on politics, but I believe that an angel, I believe the Lord, caused our president, probably to be, to turn his head at the right second because that guy would have hit a bullseye. And God, see, God is raising up a man. God is raising him up. And God, I believe, you know, God used 4 years to reveal evil. Just evil was revealed. And I mean, they were given, evil was given a platform. Now, I'm talking about demonic spirits. I'm not talking about necessarily people, because the Bible says if they're blind, according to Hebrews, he said, the God of this world has blinded their hearts and mind. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in. Lest God's word, the entrance of God's word brings life. Hallelujah. I believe God heard Americans that love Him and believe Him, praise God, because, you know, I still hear Christians, you know, and even I thought this, you know, I was telling the boy that works for me, he's not a Christian. He believes there's an atheist, but he's not. God's got him in my presence and in my truck under the anointing, and he's hearing about Jesus and God all the time. He's hearing about God. He's hearing how good God is. He's hearing us talk about how God works things out and all that. And the Bible says some plant, some waters, and who gives the increase? God. You know, but I was thinking about it. I thought, you know what? The prayers of the righteous, the fervent prayers of the righteous prevailed. Right? Praise God. And I heard that man get up. I've never heard a president preach like he did. They put it on TikTok. CNN, all them don't cover this kind of stuff. And even Fox, hallelujah. I trust no one but Jesus, hallelujah. And I'm going to believe the Bible, based on the Bible. Hallelujah. That's the way I'm going to believe. But you know what? I heard him on TikTok, and the people were saying, you're the most popular man on the planet. I'm talking about Donald J. Trump. You're the most popular man on the planet. And he's behind a pulpit, and he said, no. He said, I'm not. And once somebody said, who else are they? He said, you're the most popular one. He said, there's one. He said, that's way above me, and his name is Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm this and I'm that. He said, his name is Jesus Christ. And I believe that incident, that when he realized that he could have been took out, he tweeted it. He said, had it not been for God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's all I'm going to preach on that. Hallelujah. But I want to give God some glory tonight. And God told me in 1994, you know, and I've told the guy two or three times that rides with men, Travis, you know, I need you to get registered to vote. You know, and I need you to vote for Donald J. Trump. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and he says, well, I don't vote. It don't matter anyhow. Satan told me that back under in the 90s. It don't matter. It's a fixed thing. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's exactly what Satan wants me and you to believe in our life. That he is in control and his plan is automatically going to turn out in our lives. It is not. Satanic forces has dominion in areas of yielding, whether it's people, places, yielding, praise God. But I want to talk about worship tonight. And I'm not talking about getting up here and playing the guitars and all of that. We're praising God. We're praising Him. Worship is a little bit different than praise, hallelujah. You know, and God began to speak to me. He said, my people worship other gods. Some of my people, they worship other gods. And I thought, well, I know that, Lord, you know. and so I started thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible. And I read that back 20-something years ago, 27, 28 years ago. And when I come to a full knowing about that story in there, I had revelation in my heart that this world system wants me bound to it, that the culture wants me bound to it. It wants me bound to mediocre Christianity. That means, you know, I'm going to serve God and praise Him as long as He takes care of everything and pays all my bills and everything's okay. And that's a mediocre, to me, worship. That's not really a dedicated worship. A worship means to bow down, to give one devotion to. It means to give our devotion to. We're devoted to Him. We're devoted to Him. Jesus said, He told them over there, He said, when he was going to take them to the promised land, we'll read maybe some of it, but He told them, He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your strength, and all of your might. You know, And he told him, he said, I will have no other gods before me. We'll read the scripture here in a few minutes where God told him, He said, I am jealous over you. I'm jealous. It wasn't that God was trying to dictate and suppress them. He was telling them, I'm jealous. I love you. I love you. I delivered you. I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you into a land. I'm bringing you in. And I don't want you to worship no other god. But people do it all the time, unknowing to them. It may not be Baal. It may not be. It can just be a I mean, if you've got ministry in your life, you ought to be praising God. I mean, if He's give you a guitar, a bass, if He's give us a box truck, if He's give us a food ministry, a clothing ministry, if He's giving you a pulpit ministry, if He's giving you a door greeter ministry, you know, we ought to be praising God. Drummers, hallelujah. You can't play the drums. I mean, everybody can't play them drums. You ought to see me get up there and butcher it. You got a gift from God, hallelujah. And even out in the world, they worship another god. They worship satanic. They worship fame. They want glory. They want recognition. They want, you know, and God has called them and give them gifts just like He did Satan to worship him, to give him, give God devotion. God wanted Satan to worship him, to play music and praises to God through that worship, that adoration. And he did it for a while. And then he began to worship himself. People worship themselves. They're not in church tonight. Now, they are legitimate reasons. I'm not talking about some people miss church every now and then. Something comes up, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking about, you know, that's a part of worshiping God. You are devoted to His kingdom. You are devoted to His work. You are devoted to His call in your life. I was reminded, you know, when I read that story back under about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'd heard a little bit of preaching on those guys and had that revelation. And I just knew in my heart that I had to be consecrated to God. I've not been perfect for 30 years, so don't think I'm standing up here telling you that I don't have no flaws and I don't have to work on anything. I'm just like you. I work on things all the time. I keep pride down. I keep anger down. I cast down thoughts. I motivate myself towards God, looking unto Jesus. So don't think that I'm standing up here telling you I've done everything perfect. That's why God uses me or you. No, He uses you in spite of your lack and your strength and all of that. You know, if we put our devotion to Him, that's why it explains how come a lot of Christians. I know I'm talking all over the world, but it is what it is. The Bible's true. The Bible is true. He said, I will have no other gods before me. And I mean, baseball can be a god. I'm putting it before the kingdom. I put my kids before the kingdom. I'm reminded at my church when I was in ministry, and I didn't have this concept, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to pastor a church and I've got to stay here. And God don't usually do that to us. You know, He puts us in a place and we know that it's God's will, whether it's on our job. I mean, I can't just quit the garage door business anytime I want to. God put me in it in 94, hallelujah, put me in it, and He ain't changed His mind all that time. Even when I don't like the public, even when they're rude to me, even when they don't pay me, even when they take from me, even when they do me wrong, selfishness on their part, and, you know, and when it comes down to it, I have to be like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus said, I come down here not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. And He says, everything the Father has given me, I'll give to you. See, Jesus was devoted to the will of God. He was devoted to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was go out there and win them to me, God was telling him. Win them to me. Go out there and tell them, you're the anointed one. And through you, they can get to me. They can come to me. See, Jesus was on a mission. And men, you're on a mission. And Jesus lived a natural life like we did. I mean, he was a carpenter by trade and different things like that, but He was devoted to the temple. He was devoted to church like y'all are. This ain't the backbone. I mean, the backbone comes on Sunday morning, you know, but they just ain't got it up there to where they're willing to sacrifice a little deeper. We have to be willing to sacrifice. Just like the president, when he was shot, got up, you know, and praised God, and he started telling us, fight, fight, fight. Shot. He didn't know how bad he shot. He pulled his hand off. He didn't know. He didn't know how he, but you know what? He wasn't looking at that attack. He was looking at what was trying to stop what he believes that he is called to do. He believes he's called to do it. And I believe he's been anointed all these years. I believe God blessed him as much as he could, and he worked hard and worked his way up, and he don't need the money. The dude has got plenty of money. I mean, and he's been fought just like we've been fought from our enemy to kill, steal, and destroy us, but we've been able to see it. Donald can't see our battles. But you know what? He's been attacked by demonic forces and people yielding to him for all this time. And I'm not into politics. I see it with my own eyes, a human being that they have put on trial and they've not found nothing up till they finally beat something in. And then they come out, y'all gonna vote for a convicted felon? You better believe it. I'm voting for a convicted felon. He's an innocent man. They crucified Jesus, and I'm still walking with him, and he was an innocent man. I've been accused of things, and you've been accused of things that were not true, but that didn't stop you from moving forward with God and giving your worship to Satan, your worship to your emotions, your worship to your past, hallelujah. You can meditate on your past and wish you would have known. You're bowing down to your past. We've got to live now in the future. I was reminded when a lot of times I was, tempted to leave my church because I got upset and all of that stuff. But I refused to give my worship to anybody but God. I refuse to give Satan place to come and take advantage of me by giving in to people's ignorance. They were just ignorant. They didn't realize, this is going to cause a temptation for him to get out of the will of God. They wasn't mindful of that. They're, some of them just carnal all day long and all week long and not fasting and praying and coming to church and, just being all carnal. Just carnal. Well, God showed me early on in life, I was reading about David, and some is David in there. And it says, lo, I looked and seen a vineyard, and it was all grew up, and the walls were broke down. And David said, and I became wise. And God spoke to me whenever I read that, and God said, look, son, he said, you can look at people's lives. Don't judge them. He said, but you don't follow them. You don't walk that way. You don't do what they do. And I was reminded, about church many, many times. I even got mad at my pastor because he would give me wise counsel, what I need, holding me back. He knew a lot of stuff and everything. And I would go off and I'd think, who does he think he is? I know God myself. You know what I was doing? I was giving my worship to myself. I was saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. He put me there. He put me under him, right? Well, then God knew what he was doing. And I was just ignorant, and God had mercy on me. And God, because I love God, and I'd made up my mind, I'm not going to worship Satan anymore. I worshiped him and served him for 27 years. I did everything he wanted me to do for 27 years almost. And I thought, I'm not going to serve that God anymore. I'm not going to serve him anymore. I'm not going to give him time of day anymore. He tried to ruin me. He tried to destroy my marriage. He tried to destroy my son that wouldn't have been raised up in the Lord. He tried to get me to bow down and worship him. And the Lord told me, he said, many of my people are worshiping everything but me. He said, they turn to me when their bills are due. They turn to me when their husband leaves. They turn to me when their wife leaves. He said, they turn to me when things happen bad in their lives, but they give me not the time of day anytime else. He said, I'm not involved with them like I want to be. He said, I woo them to come, but they won't come. I woo them to stay in church, like I was talking about, but they won't stay. He said, I've got calls. He told me, he said, what if you'd have quit? What if you'd have quit church? What if you'd have quit my will? What if? He said, you would not be where you're at. We are worldwide. You come in here and get discouraged because everybody ain't here. All you are is in a growing process of being able to give God all of your attention when the seats are empty, sweetheart. We are not looking at that to determine if we're doing God's will or not. We are not looking at numbers to determine whether we're successful or not. We're successful because we stay in faith and we stay in the right spirit, and we're not going to yield to satanic forces of emotion and why, God, and blah, blah, blah. And I was reminded today, he said, you remember, he said, when you signed Travis up for football. Well, Teresa just did it to, he was an only kid and he was kind of weak, not really weak, but just not girly, but he needed some strength. They needed to go out there and put a helmet on, get a little banging going on, bang. Just fight, do something, let them run over you, get tougher. That's what she was thinking. so she would, of course, you got to remember, I married her, and all she wants to do is play football. And I told her, I said, I'll play football with y'all, but we're going to play tag. And she said, you're a girl. He said, we're not playing tag. Well, she would tackle you. Just here comes a bullet. Bam! And you on the ground. Roll over about four times. You ain't killing me. I didn't play football in school. But anyways, That was just her mindset, you know, need to toughen him up some and all of that. So she would give him Tylenol 30 minutes before he gets to practice, you know. And it's because he had done experience once he gets hit, one time he gets a headache. I mean, anybody would. Right? Crash your head and see. Well, anyhow, come up, you know, and they want the coach just wanting to get the team better, wanting to get the team better. Nothing wrong with that. Good coach is everything with them little kids. I mean, you got a good coach, it'll push them and get them to drive and work and learn the moves and all of that. That's why they win. You know, they follow that team leader. Well, it come up and they going to practice now on Wednesday night. And we had done made up our mind at that time. He about, I don't know, 8, 9, I guess. You know, we done determined at that time we going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we go to church on Wednesday. I don't know if our coach knows it or not, but I don't owe him an explanation about what I do on Wednesday night. You're fixing to find out, coach, that this house goes to church on Wednesday night. Why? Because we are not going to worship another God. We are not going to put anything before the kingdom. That's worshiping something else. Now, you're not going to hear this in every church, and that's fine. We're not every church. We're this church, and God's called us to do great and awesome things, and praise God. And it's going to be because we give Him our worship. We give Him our attention. We make things weighty. The things of God are weighty. They matter to us. I told the Lord going to get the food. I've really never liked going to get the food, you know. I've never really liked it. I have to take off work, get under pressure, put jobs off and all of that, you know. Middle of the month, every month, you know. Got to go get that food. Got to go get that food. And then I have to go through weighing you and all that up yonder, you know. And I have to cast down those thoughts of worry and all of that there, you know. Going to have to go across the scales. And then they're going to tell you this and that and blah, 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 you know. But on the way up there this morning, I told God, I said, God, thank you, sir. Thank you for this truck. I thank you for this food ministry. I thank you, God, for every test that I went through about this food. And I stayed in my worship to you, and we're still going full blast. I don't know how long it's been going. 15 years, maybe. I don't know. A long time, you know. But see, whenever you don't want to do the will of God, that's not a time to let your mind work and wish you was out from under that pressure. Let somebody else do. It's time to gird up the loins of your mind, cast them down, and get put on the mind of Jesus Christ. I am here not to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of Him that sent me. And if these young men or anybody is very wise, you will seek God about your future. See, you can come up with ideas of what you want to be a rock star. Oh, Travis want to be a rock star one time. He's going to YouTube his way to fortune, singing his songs. A YouTuber. Well, he's watched them on there, and they're making millions. I mean, a lot of them, they go what they call viral. How many knows we're viral? We're all over the world. We're viral. You are viral. You're already exalted by the Lord to be a part of His ministry, His work. Hallelujah. Hey, but you know what? They found out real quick that Travis is not going to be on that football field on Wednesday night. People have told me, well, I mean, you're a little extreme, ain't you? No, I'm saved. No, I'm real. No, I know how important it is to show up to work. I've worked people for 30 years. I mean, I've wanted to shoot a bunch of them. You get no. This guy come in, he's a big guy one time. He comes in and he's got mental problems. He's not mentally off. He's a baby up here. He's big as you are. You're not fat. I'm just saying big. Comes in. And I've scheduled Travis and another guy to go one way and me and this guy to go below Birmingham and do a barrel door, a 10 by 10 barrel door. Got to take one out, put one in. He stands there a few minutes. He, I just can't take it. I said, what? What do you mean you can't? This mentally can't go today. I said, well, I don't need your mental to go. I need your body. I don't care about your mental atmosphere. Pick that door up, you know. And so I thought, well, glory to God. I said, all right, man, just go on back home. I fired him and let him go. You know what I done? I didn't go, oh, my God, Teresa, what am I going to pray? Oh, pray real hard. I mean, I got all this set up. I can't jump. No, I didn't. You know what I did? I got in that truck, me and my gear, and I left. And I went by myself down there, and I took that door down by myself. I went in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I told him, see, that is what giving him your worship is. You are depending on his strength. You're depending on him to help you. You're going in the strength of the Lord God. You are not alone. You may be, I don't care. You've given your heart to Jesus and you are facing a court trouble, whatever it may be. You give your worship to God. You begin to worship God. You begin to put your trust in God. You begin to give him your worship instead of fear. You are worshiping Satan. You're giving him attention. You're giving him your adoration. You're giving him your will. You're surrendering your will to fear. The Bible is very clear. Fear is mentioned 365 times in that Bible right there. That is fear for one day of every day of the year. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, he was talking to the children of Israel. I said, who do you think we are? We have been grafted in. We're spiritually born of his spirit. We are the children of the Most High God. They said, well, that's Old Testament. I said, I don't have old and new. I said, I don't see it old and new. I said, I see it be the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. All scripture, Paul said, is written by inspiration. I don't separate the Old Testament from the new. I understand that the Old Testament was the old covenant, and we have a new covenant through Jesus that he shed his blood. And I understand that we don't have to go through all the rituals and all of that junk that they had to go through to cover sins once a year until Jesus come and cleansed all of them. They were covered. I understand that the Old Testament is types and shadows. I understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. So don't give me that garbage, you know, that's Old Testament. But people like that, they're really not honoring God. Honoring God means to worship God. To make things weighty. To honor the Lord means the kingdom is very important to you. His presence in your life is very important to you. Finding out and asking God to help me do God's will. Help me do your will. Strengthen me, God. I told God before I come over here, I said, God, if I've worshipped any other God, I ask you right now to forgive me, Lord. Lord, that I can go under your anointing, God, and be anointed by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to bring this forth, that it don't bring condemnation, Lord, because it's not coming out of spirit of carnal spirit. It's coming out of your spirit, God, that it will bring light and it will bring strength to all of us. Ask him to forgive me. I said, Lord, if I've did it unconsciously, Lord, I said, I just ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to forgive me for all of the times that I have did that, you know. I'm going to keep my conscience clear towards my God. I need God today more than ever. The more that I prosper and all of that, the more that I need God. You know, because he told him, give me that. I'm trying to think if I want to read that. Just give me the Deuteronomy. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that guy made a decree. When all this music, he made an image. See, Satan gives us an image of being free. I don't want to go to church tonight. I'm tired. I had to work. And then, you know, well, I need Sunday off. I have to work all week. And he does this stuff. He does this stuff and gives an image of this will be good. I'll rest and all of that. No, there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God, and it ain't laying at home. The rest is in the worship. The rest is in the fight. The rest of God is in the doing of His will. You enter into rest. Those that have ceased from their own will, their own work, their own way of doing, has entered into that rest, entered into that grace, entered into that mercy. Hallelujah. Well, they told them, they went and told them, they said, hey, they some Jews. Hey, some of the Jews ain't bowing down. They made a golden image. Nebuchadnezzar did. He was a king, an ungodly king. So he goes to them and he tells them, he says, you're not bowing down. He said, now, he told them again, I guess so they would understand, unless they didn't understand. He said, when you hear all this music, he said, bow down. He said, and if you don't bow down there means to worship. It means to give, I don't know what it means, homage. I know what it means in here. I mean, I'm not a theologian on the Bible, you know. I have to ask the Lord even to help me understand it. Well, I mean, you quote it. I don't care. I'm not a God. He's my God. And he can bring things out of that word that I have read for 30 years if I am worshiping Him. If I am giving him my attention. Hallelujah. Well, he said, what other God is there that can deliver you? And they told him, they says, we're not going to worship. Our God that we serve can and will deliver us. But if he don't, I mean, they went on and said, even if we have to go in that fiery furnace, we are not going to worship your God. We're going to worship our God. And there's a big ending to that story that set out to me and set me free, praise God, hallelujah, that I didn't have to stay bowed to this world and fear and anger and jealousy and all of those things that bound me up that I thought was going to give me life and all of that stuff, you know. I found true life in Jesus Christ, and I find more life as I walk with Him and worship Him and give Him praise and all of that, give Him my attention. Well, he went on and it made him so angry, he told him he got his strongest ones, I mean his strongest men, and the Bible said, and it even made it in there, it didn't just say they bound them. If they bound them in their cloak and their coats and their hats, and I mean, I'm like, I've never noticed that. You know, I mean, they had all these clothes on, you know. And he told him, he made him so mad, he said, turn it up 7 times hotter than it normally is. They heated that thing up, got the strongest men, and when they throw them in there, the flames came out and killed those men that threw them in there. Through those three Hebrew children, they were children of God. They were believers in God. They were following God. They had the prophecies. They knew at some time there was a Messiah coming. Well, he said, hey, I'm paraphrasing this a little. Did y'all just not put 3 in there? He said, I see 4 walking around in there. And when I read that, I thought, glory to God. I thought at that time, I thought Jesus showed up in there, man. But it was, I believe it was an angel of the Lord. One of the amplifiers said it was an angel of the Lord. Well, he sent angels to Daniel, didn't he? And shut the mouths of the lion. Angels showed up. He told them in Psalms over there, the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that reverence God, that worship God, that adore God, that give their attention to God, that put their trust in God. Our future is in God. It's not in this party. But it's in us believing. We are believing. We're putting this man there because we believe that's the route God has got for America. And we've seen 4 years. If I was running in his place, all I would do is get that microphone for the whole campaign and I would say, are you better off? That's all I would ask. Are you better? So I want to ask you tonight, y'all that follow Jesus, you're dedicated. Are you better off? Yes, we are. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are dedicated to him. And getting more dedicated to him. He's going to light a fire. Travis is fixing to bring us on. Light a fire that I can't control. You know? And that's the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. See, when God brought the call up in me. It's kept me going for 30 years, that call. All I knew that I was called to preach. I was going to be a preacher. That's all I felt like on the inside. And that's all I knew and that's all I needed. And all of these years, God, it won't let me quit the church, Matt. It won't let me quit on you. Won't let me quit on my wife. It won't let me quit. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in this. Well, I'm more. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You don't have to feel like it. He said you are. He said you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You don't have to feel strong. He will strengthen you. The Bible says he gives strength to the weak. He increases strength to those that have no strength. He said those that wait on him. You know what wait? You go to a restaurant and you're looking for the waiter. Hey, waiter! Right? She's waiting on you. She's fixing to serve you. She's going to get you your tea. Sweet tea. Or whatever you drink. And you're anticipating. You're looking at that menu and boy, you're trying to figure out what you want and all that. How many knows this is a menu right here? This right here is good stuff. There's nothing bad in it. It's all good. Just like Sandy said, when you read this word right here, and when you're giving God your worship, you're dedicating yourself to God, and you've made up your mind, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, and when you read this, you're in a right spirit. You're in line with the Holy Spirit. And I don't care if you're 12, you are 6, or you are 80 or 90, he will enlighten you. And when he does that, strength comes and faith comes and courage comes. Hallelujah. But if we're worshiping other things, if we're going after other, I don't chase money. Money comes to me. I read the scripture in there where the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says the blessing of the Lord makes, and I put my name in there, Scotty Rich. I just told the Lord today, I said, God, I've said it ever since I read that about Abraham. God, there's nobody going to say they made Scotty rich but you, God. And I'm not going to give anybody credit other than you for making me wealthy. Not that I'm after wealth. I don't care. I want to be a blessing. He prospers me so that I can bless. So that I can bless my wife. Right? Give her a nice car. Give her a house. Hallelujah. He blesses me. I told my grandkids they're going on vacation. And Aiden, he was crying yesterday or day or whatever. He's crying because he wants Grandma and Papa to go. They're going to Myrtle Beach. You know, and we'll be here. I told them yesterday, I said, look, guys. I said, you know, we can FaceTime each other. It'll all be good if we can FaceTime each other, you know, and everything. And I told them, I said, hey, I said, ain't there going to be a game room up there? Yeah, I think there's going to be a game room. I said, well, Papa's going to have to come up and get a little money so you can go play them games. What if I'm broke? What if I can't bless my babies? They're going to be blessed. I'm going to give them some money if it's okay with the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge him in it, God. Do I need to do it, or are you going to make Travis give them some? Travis is their dad, praise God. And there's two things you don't mess with. That's money and his wife and kids. You just don't mess with them. Praise the Lord. But worship means to bow down, to give one's devotion to. And we don't want to be giving our devotion to fear. We don't want to be giving our devotion to quit. We don't want to be giving our devotion to I'll do anything. She's intrigued with prophecy, and I thank God. I get it in the living room and all of that stuff, you know, and she's intrigued with prophecy. It's God. God's put it in her. I told God today, I said, God, you help her. Help her, Lord, to understand prophecy so she can bring it to the church, so she can bring truth to the church from your word and reveal things to her. God, she's got a hunger for it. She digs, she searches, she prays, she fasts, she wants to know. That's God. The Bible says it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. You don't desire God unless he's doing a work on the inside of you. No man comes to the Father unless he draws them. Nobody comes to him unless he's... But you know what? God, I was fixing to take a little short nap, and God said, He said, I want you to study worship. Because I don't know, man. I know what it is. Play the guitar and sing, you know. Then, you know. But I really didn't realize that it was a little deeper than that. I really didn't realize that it's giving one's devotion to. But Satan wants people to worship him. People, these rock stars that's made it big, they gonna stand before God one day, and I don't care what the world says in the church. They're gonna stand before the Lord one day, and he gonna say, I give you that talent. I meant for you to go get in church somewhere. I meant for you to have praise teams. I meant for you to use your talents for me. I meant for you to do that for me. And then people go in business. They're looking for business like I was. And I went the wrong way. I was going into drugs to do business and all of that, you know. And if I hadn't got saved, I would have stood before the Lord one day and he would have said, well, son, I gave you the hunger to be in business, but I wanted you out of that evil world. I wanted you away from the evil one. I delivered you from the evil one. I believe there's people that is called to preach and they won't get in church. They won't go where God wants them to go and sit down and serve. God's going to ask you to serve before you can serve others. You're going to have to learn how to serve. Jesus humbled himself before God in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he did not want to go to that. I don't believe it was the cross, Johnny. I believe it was he knew that he was fixing to have to be separated from God. He'd never been separated from his Father, and he's fixing to have to be separated. And he knew that cross was going. I'm sure he's hit his fingers with a hammer before, carpenter. I'm sure he's dropped a two before on him a time or two or something, you know. I'm sure the kids might have even beat him up when he was a kid. I don't know, but he knew what pain was. He knew, and he'd probably watched people being nailed to the cross because that's a way of punishment in those days. I'm sure that he'd seen people in agony on that cross screaming, you know, I don't believe they're just being drove to their hands and feet to the cross and just sat there with no screaming. I would probably be in agony. And I would probably scream and all of that stuff, you know. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, anyways, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, if there be any other way, I've did it before, God. Are there any other way for me to do this? God, if they are, just show me. But God, nevertheless, my will, your will be done, just like with Jesus. I see the United States of America uniting now like I've not seen in four or five years, eight years really. It was divided back under 8 years ago. Both parties divided. They talk unity all they want to. If you ain't serving God, you are going to spread discord. If people, I don't care if it's a church, this church can't have its own agenda. I can't have it my own way. I don't get what I want. I don't get to do most of the time what I want to do. And I don't get up here and preach it so I can get a good pat on the back of all my sacrifice. No, the Bible says that it is my reasonable service.
It's reasonable. The Bible tells me to lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset me and run the race that I'm in. So we can't quit the race, Johnny. If we quit the race, we can't win. So God is making a call out to people. Travis, the other day, he said, "You know what I'm hearing a lot about, Dad?" And I said, "No." He said, obedience, because they're listening to him, Beth listening to sermons and her, you know, and different things. He said, "I'm hearing a lot about obedience, you know, and everything." And I said, "Well, that's good." But the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, you know, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, you know, people worship money. It's called mammon in the Bible. You can't serve God and the spirit of mammon. Money. There's a spirit behind money. Money's neutral. Money's not good or bad. But there's a spirit behind money that tells you you can't afford to tithe because you're on a fixed income. He gets you to get in defiance with the Word of God in your thinking. It's not that your heart is bad. You know, it's not your heart bad. It's your reasoning center up here that is getting you, just like Jesus when he was up there, you know, and he was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Not to be tempted. He was led out by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, and he was tempted. I say that wrong, so I'm making it right. It don't say to be tempted. He wasn't led up there to be tempted. He was led by the Holy Spirit into that place. And the devil went and tempted him. That's how that took place. The Holy Spirit led me and you out of the world into the kingdom. And he's going to come and tempt us to give him his worship like we was before we got saved. But he don't have the power. All Satan has is the power of suggestion. Power of suggestion. To suggest to me, you know. And so, let's read this right quick. This is the children of Israel. He said, "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe..." No, that's not it. I wrote it down wrong. I wrote that down wrong. Six. Yeah, this is it. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Now, this is the children of Israel. They're here, and God is told the ones to teach them the Word of God and all that, you know, and told them to tell the children of Israel what to do, because he's fixing to take them into the land. He's fixing to take them into the promises. And he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words," that's the Bible for me and you, "which I command thee this day, shall be in your heart." He writes his word in the tables of our heart as we are consecrated to him and giving him our worship, giving him our attention. We're bowing down to him. We're kneeling to him. He's our king, and we should. Hallelujah. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in their heart, and thou shalt teach them," how often? Diligently to your children. Whether they want to hear it or not, we're not going to put our feelings above God. My son, me and Teresa has fasted our whole Christian life. Doing without food, abstaining from food. We set aside times at different times. We don't usually do it on the same day. But we did at that time, and Travis was at home, and we made up our mind we're going to teach him the ways of God. He's about 6, 7 years old. I don't know what he is, you know. And we make him fast off the Nintendo. Not food. We didn't make him fast from food. But we was giving him a perception of serving God. You're going to sacrifice things to God. You're going to make time for God. We read our Bible with him, a chapter a day, you know. And I would read a chapter one night, and he would read a chapter, and Teresa would read a chapter. We read the Bible. Why? Because we was going to teach our children, "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house." We didn't sit around talking about the people in the church where he could hear it. We didn't sit around talk about all our problems. We didn't sit around and talk about how mad I am at Brad. Don't teach your kids to rebel against the authority of God. You know, we didn't sit around talking about too much stuff you know, we talked about God. We had the TV on. We had, you know, preaching going on. I mean, we did go the extreme way. When we got saved, we came out and we rushed in. We rushed in, praise God, and I mean, we just dug in and we started dedicating ourselves to the Lord in different things as He began to reveal things. But the glory kept showing up, and then before you know it, we were prospering. We started prospering in every area, not just money. But He said, talk of them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in your house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be the frontlets between your eyes. Go ahead, Beth. Thank you. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He swore unto the fathers, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give thee a good and godly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of... They ain't had no houses. They ain't had no cities. They've been down there in bondage. They ain't had all these stuff for themselves. They ain't been making their own decisions. They've been under slavery, like we was before we got saved. Sure, we made a few decisions, but most of them was influenced by the dark one. Goodly cities which thou build, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Go ahead, Beth. Thank you. Then beware lest you forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord, reverence Him, thy God, and serve Him. The word serve, I don't know if I wrote it down or not. The word serve, well, it's worship. It ties in with worship. Let's go on. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. For the Lord thy God, verse 15. No, let's go back up. I don't want to miss this. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are around about you. Now He's telling them, I'm taking you into this land, and it's got houses and all of that. You know, he said, but these people there, they serve other gods. This world serves a different god. And people that ain't saved serve a different god. Satan's their god. Jesus has made it very clear. If you are not for me, you are against me. Right? We can't get confused about that. If they are not for God, they are against God. So that is serving another god. Now you don't want to go out telling them that. You want to go out and tell them about Jesus and the goodness of God, so you can get them delivered. But we need to understand that is the way that it is. And He told them. He said, "For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you." How many knows God loves us? God's jealous. Reminds me, Aubrey. She had a little friend, and I was talking about Jesus to her little friend, and she was standing there one day, and I was talking to her little friend about Jesus, and when her little friend went on, she looked at me, and she said, "Hey, Papa," and I said, "Yes, baby." She said, "Do you like me as much as you like my friend?" I ain't going to call her name. And I said, "You better believe I do. I love you. I love." Why? What happened? She was jealous, Johnny. She didn't like me giving that little friend attention. Aiden's been the same. He didn't ask me those questions, but he causes a lot of distraction when I was giving Aubrey some attention, you know. What happened? He's jealous. He's jealous of Papa and you know. And I told her, I said, "No." I said, "God, how many knows that's the way God is with me and you? He don't want me giving my attention nowhere but Him. He wants my attention towards Him. He wants me to trust Him to take me on into this glorious future that He has for me. That's worshiping God. He wants me to believe that God will work. He'll work all things together. That's giving Him your worship. He wants you to say it out of your mouth. You are a good God. and you're bringing me into this land, and I'm not going to serve those other gods. And I don't care church people, non-church people, praise God. The Bible is very clear, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I preached that here 30 years because I don't find it changing in the Bible. And I find dedicated Christians in this Bible right here that I'm to pattern myself after Jesus the way they did after God, pattern the way they did, and they came out of the lines then. What need up, man? They came out of that fiery furnace and they said, and that king, he said, if anybody speaks anything against this man's most high God, there's no God that can deliver like this. He ain't seen one yet. They pray unto these gods, but they ain't seen somebody walk out and their coat still on her with seven times hotter and kill the ones. They've never seen anybody at that time walk out of that fiery furnace. But this time they seen one in her like unto the Son of Man. And he's in your life. But you know what? If Satan can get us, we call it distracted. We can call it whatever we want to. Our attention. Or worth, if I go to fearing the economy, fearing what might take place in the future, now I'm beginning to worship that fear. I'm beginning to give it my attention. What if it does? What if it don't? What if this happens? What if God's doors just shuts down? What am I going to do? The same thing I've been doing. But my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. But I've had to walk it, Johnny. I've had to absolutely walk it. I've had to worship him. I've had to repent because I turned to the weak and beggarly elements of this world under the pressure that I was under. And I mean, you're on your own, you're miserable. I mean, you can't figure it out. And then Satan begins to bring thoughts in there. This is the way you do it. I mean, the first thing he told Jesus up there, because he knew that Jesus was hungry, he said, turn these stones into bread. He tries to take what he might think be your weak time, your great trial, what you're going through, and he wants to come in to get you to go against God's word somehow. The Lord Jesus, he told him, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. I mean, he come back with Satan. He said, I'm not going to do that. But God, I don't just live by food. I live by the word of God. That's what he told Satan. Satan takes him up and shows him all the power and the glory of this world. That's how come ball games. I've had to put God first before my family. My family don't come before God. I know you're shocked. Jesus said it. These are my mother's brothers and sisters. Those that does the will of God. I've had to choose God. People wanting to come over and visit with us and church on Sunday. You know, and well, you know, I don't care if Jesus comes over. He better be going to church. That was my mindset. Because I know Jesus is in church. I meet him up there every Sunday and every Wednesday. And let God, he's at my house when he ain't at church, but he's at church. That was my mindset. And I would tell him, well, you know, y'all bring your clothes. What clothes? We're going swimming now. Yeah, we're going swimming. We're going to eat before we do anything. We're going to church. Me and my wife, we go to church. Well, it's about the only time we can come. Well, maybe we'll catch you next time. Right? I'm not going to put you before Jesus this morning. And the enemy will put it on people. I mean, you know, that's why I don't have a phone. Get here at the church. Oh, my God, I can't go. I mean, I don't have a phone here at church. It's on silent on my desk right now. If you die and raise you when I get back, I'm not going to have that phone distracting me. Somebody told me here a while back, they said, well, I was coming to service, and I got right there to the door, and my phone rung, and all blank was breaking loose at my house. I started to say, if you hadn't had that phone, you wouldn't have knew it. You could have went on in, got empowered to go handle the mess after you left. But then you went over there and got all in the flesh and made a mess out of it. I didn't tell him that, but that's what I wanted to. You shouldn't have had a phone walking in the door unless you've got your phone off and you're using the Bible. I went by teenagers texting, I'm going to cut that off. I don't care what Scotty, I was Brother Scotty before I said it. I don't care what Scotty says. I don't care what Scotty says. Scotty wasn't talking. That was God talking. This is his house. And Scotty wants to reverence God. Scotty wants the anointing. Scotty wants the power to change our lives. And if we ain't reverencing God and we've got the world on in here, well then we're not giving God our worship. You cannot text and worship. Most people, they think they can text and talk and they're going to kill us. Don't get on that phone while you're driving. I thought, look, man, I'm a multitasker. Well, I was coming down 157, man, and I just looked at my phone. When I looked up, here comes a sign. Wow! I was like, whoa, glory to God. Teresa was talking like Jesus. But I want to encourage you. He's a jealous God. He loves us. I mean, he's not an angry God. He's not looking for a reason. You know, in the Bible over there, in another scripture, it says, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged when God chastises us. When God gets on to me. When God tells me to forgive. When God tells me I'm wrong. When God tells me to repent because I've not been giving you my heart in the box truck driving. I've not been praising God. I've been like, oh man, I gotta go get that food. It's gonna mess up this, and it's gonna mess up that, and it's gonna. Ain't that just sound like a devil? Now praise God, hallelujah. He'll give me grace when I get back. That's worshiping God. So I want to encourage you. Satan wanted Jesus to bow down to him. He told him, "Worship me, and I'll give you all this." And you know what? He offers people he offers them a good job. Leave your church. Y'all guys, leave your church. If God ain't told you to leave this church, then don't leave this church. I don't care where you want to go. That goes for me too. You don't walk out of the will of God and think God's going to bless you wherever you go. He told them, when you get over here in this land, and we're in a good land, we're in a good place. God has blessed you now. God's blessed us, and we are blessed. My grandkids don't know anything about poverty. I mean, there's nothing that they lack anywhere, any area, any house. Yours either. Come on, somebody. They might want to eat $300 worth of food up. Don't mean they're on starvation. That just means they get bored. They need to be out cleaning up and get to three meals a day. Right? You eat in the house down all day long, you're bored. You know, I sat around and get bored. I ate 3 bags of Doritos and 5 Maters and then go to bed. Half a block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. But when I'm reading that Bible, I don't think about all that. Praise the Lord. I just throw that out there. That wasn't in my sermon. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Praise God. Honor God. The Bible says in Proverbs over there, he said, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase. People dishonor God with their money. I mean, he just told me, send somebody a $1,000 offer, and it took me 3 weeks to make up my mind. And then God's like, I hope you don't continue doing me that way. You know? And so I told Teresa, I said, send this money. Send this money Monday. You know, just send it. Send this money. And that's procrastination. When God tells me to do something, normally I don't do that. I normally just do it, you know. Praise God. But how many knows there's a lot of people won't give God nothing? They won't give God $5. They won't give God $2. But they want him to rain down blessing on their life. Not going to happen. That is not going to happen. They might get a spurt here and there. The Bible says he rains on the just and who? The unjust. He's as good as he can be to them. You know. But now he rains on us. He pours out his favor, doors, and all kinds of things when we honor him and we respect him. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.